I was a student at Cumberland College years and years ago. I was woke up one morning by a friend. He said, come on, let's go get a flashlight. We are going spelunking. Listen, I've told this story maybe once or twice, but for many of you, you've never heard it. My buddy got me up and we went out, with flashlights to meet a crew of individuals. And I was told that we were going spelunking, cave exploring. So in my mind as a northerner, I was going to go and all these hanging rocks and be inside the caves looking around. But what I did not know is that it would last for over 6 hours, that we would be going into the cave and get lower and lower until we were on our bellies. We were crawling. I had 6, 7, 8 people in front of me, 6, 7, 8 people behind me. I had a little flashlight. They had gloves and helmets and these lights on their helmets. They had little bags of food. I had no idea. We were not prepared. And so we're going through these tunnels, deep down Cumberland College area, those caves. Listen, we were going through almost like tubes. I mean, where you would have your arms stretched out before you and barely moving because underneath you was wet clay. You could slide along. Now, there were times that we would actually come out of those, like, just enough room to barely squeeze through for, you know, an hour's worth of that sliding through the tubes underground. Well, then we'd come out to a cavern. They would shoot off like Roman candle to show how vast the underground cavern was. I saw albino crawdads, albino fish, in a little creek flowing underneath the caverns there. Well, at one point, we were about 6 hours into this. My flashlight was beginning to dim. My buddy was in front of me. I was on my elbows just moving and sliding and squeezing through. My friend had gotten stuck in front of me, so I was kind of laughing at him as he was, fearfully trying to get loose so he can go around a corner. Now, what I did, after 6 hours, my elbows and shoulders were tired, so I just decided I'm going to flip over on my back and wait till my buddy begins to move. When I flipped over on my back deep under the earth in those tunnels, my flashlight hit the ceiling that was about 8 inches away from my face. There were thousands of cave spiders. Thousands. Cave spiders. I could not believe I saw something moving, but when I put the flashlight directly, I can see just thousands of spiders crawling all over each other, all over the ceiling, all the way down. They were there all the time. They were there the entire time that we were. And I flipped back over, grabbed my collar of my shirt, held it tight. I realized that I must have been sliding over them. They must have been dropping on my back. I had no idea that they were all around me. Pretty strange. Listen, I have never been spelunking, cave exploring again. All around us in this physical world, there's a presence. There's a presence all around us, and everybody seems to be tapping in, or that side seems to be tapping into this. Let me give you one more quick story. I'm a kid, probably about 6 years old. In our old house there in Akron, Ohio, I was upstairs playing, and in the room that we, my brother and I, you know, were in, there was an adjacent room called, we all called it the cold room, an unfinished room. It had rafters, and it was scary. It was dark to look back into those areas, and my sister and my brother always told me scary stories, and so it was always a room that, for me as a kid, was scary. So I'm upstairs playing. And I'm telling you the truth. All of a sudden, the doorknob turned back and forth, and the door began to push back and forth like it was going to open up. I was by myself. I screamed bloody murder. And I turned and ran down the little room, and I began to go down the stairs, probably about 20 steps all the way down. And I think that I probably hit only 4, 5, or 6 of those stairs. My father was at the end of the stairs because he heard me screaming, and I leaped into his arms. Now, I tell you to this day, I don't know what. I'm not talking about a little noise. I'm talking about the handle, the actual doorknob going back and forth, and then it was as if the door was, someone was trying to open it. And there was nobody up there. It was just me that day, and my dad was home. My dad ended up taking me away for the day and going up to the store. I was absolutely spooked out. You know, all around us, there are, well, things. We live not in a closed universe. We live in a universe where there's a massive, massive interaction. And all around us today, as we've been saying, the supernatural is, well, ramping up. The experiences of the supernatural are ramping up as never before. Have you seen it? Have you experienced it? Hey, it is August the 31st, 2010, last day of August here, and we are ready to jump out into September. Going to be a vast month, and we got a lot of things to tell you about. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness Live on a Tuesday night, and we're glad to be back. We had been in Las Vegas at the conference on As It Was in the Days of Noah. And Connie Huff was there, and Andrew Hoffman was there, and Dante Fortson was there, and Lynn Marzulli was there, and I got to speak. We had a great time and some really neat encounters and engagements. Now, I am a little bit weary or physically tired, and because I got dropped off at the airport on Monday, the way the airplane flight was going to work out. Now, it was going to be a 13-hour flight back to Ohio, so I went to them. This was about 11 o'clock on Monday, their time. And so I went to them and asked if there's anything they can do, so they shifted everything around. But I had to wait there in Las Vegas, the airport, from about 12 noon till 11:50 that night. So I'm there well over 11 hours. I'm doing computer work. I'm walking around. I'm trying to meet people, doing some prayers, writing up some materials, thinking about the conference, thinking about... Listen, if you're listening tonight and you were at the conference, let me tell you something. Folks came from Connecticut and Michigan and Arizona and California and, of course, Las Vegas area. I was there from Ohio, and Connie and her husband Mark were from Montana. Listen, this was, again, a very incredible thing. And if Minister Dante Fortson is listening in any way tonight, live, let me say blessings to you for a great cutting-edge conference. They felt that it went so well. The only thing they wanted was more people. And by the way, we have on our website the new newsletter. On the newsletter is a link that you can go to see pictures of the conference and see about getting a DVD of all those who spoke and all the messages and everything else. Now, let me tell you, they felt that it was so great, they've already announced another conference there in Las Vegas. I'll be going back. Lynn Marzulli will be going back August 2011. Be a great time to talk about the Mayans, right? since they felt it went over so well and that it was needed, they're going to have it. They're announcing it. Now here's your opportunity a year in advance so that we can see folks come. We had a lot of great times there, and so great to meet many of you that listen, but we never met face-to-face. That's what I love about this. And so blessings to you, and it's good to engage with you. We have another conference coming up here in just about 31 days, October 1st and 2nd, Tom Horn and Derek and Sharon Gilbert and Jeffrey Rad and myself, Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. Take a look. Shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Listen, if you are going there, you will see the live radio broadcast this week. Monday, of course, I was out at the airport, so they had to put up last week's. But we're here tonight, 6 to 7, and we'll be guest hosting tonight at 7 to 8, Survive to Thrive. Back on Wednesday at 6. Back on Thursday, but you can only get Thursdays off this direct site. And then Friday again at 6. And, of course, podcasts and the series on Becoming Powerful in Prayer, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, many others that we put up. And we are going to tell you that if you're new to the ShatterTheDarkness.net site, there are hundreds of downloads. And I want to say a special thank you to all the archivers. That's many of you that are going to be listening to this maybe a day later, hour later, a month later. Here's what we found out about these shows. I don't have any idea of the thousands that listen live. Other than that, we know in this one providential supernatural hour, there has been great engagement. God is at work. And I'm going to tell you right now, the devil is too. So we know it's a supernatural time. We know it's been prayed over. We know that there's been things done against it. We know that as you're here listening right now, that it may be that God is knocking at the door of your heart. It may be that you're listening to the archives later because something stopped you from getting here. I understand that in this work, it is very, very clear that there is a spiritual, supernatural battle that goes on back and forth again and again and again. We understand that, and we're here to pray and, move forward and seek that, that we are engaged by and we embrace, the right side of that supernatural. If you looked at the ShatterTheDarkness.net site, you're going to see the theme for the week, The Dark Side of the Supernatural. Now, I'm taking that from the title of a book. I'm going to mention the book on Wednesday and tell you a little bit about it. I bought a dozen copies. I mentioned it to Minister Dante Fortson on my ride to the airport yesterday. Listen, I've been up 24 hours, tried to get a little bit of sleep here in the last couple of hours before getting on. But I know that there is this moment a supernatural engagement. Tonight, we're talking about south of heaven or north of hell. Both are real. Both seek humanity. 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock tonight, Survive to Thrive. Contact the laws of engagement. Knock, knock, who's there? It does matter who's there. Wednesday night, from their side to ours and from our side to theirs, dimensional doors. Shift and manifestation. Thursday, drugs and the supernatural doors. And there is a prophetic redemptive warning about the kind of drugs that are going to go vastly beyond the days of the 60s that will open doors to supernatural engagement. So we're going to talk about that Thursday. And then Friday, we're going to deal with this. To see the face of God, and to be embraced, the physics of God, and the end of tears. Now that, I'm looking forward to myself to get into it, engage it. Again, welcome. And my name is Russ Dizdar, and we're ready to go tonight with this, Dark Side of the Supernatural Tuesday night. When I say south of heaven, of course you know what I mean. All that goes on in the dark side, everything that flows out of hell, all the demons, the devil himself. Now listen, when we use those phrases, understand we are talking about extra-dimensional entities, powerful beings in an array, a hierarchy of presence. There are celestial, territorial, in the air, cosmocrators, principalities, powers. by the hundreds of millions, there are spirits all around us. Now, that's when I mentioned south of heaven, that dark side, south of heaven. Then there's north of hell. Now I'm referring to, of course, the angels of God. Cherubim, seraphim, watchers, the incredible creatures that we see in the book of Revelation. This incredible revelation of the glory of God, Ezekiel chapter 1. Well, Van Dedeken and the rest are absolutely dead wrong. It's not an alien. There again goes the reductionism of dark, finite spirits. In Ezekiel chapter 1, this is the massive unveiling for Ezekiel's own experience of the glory of God. Now, we'll talk about that this week because that chapter and that revelation and that engagement of, heaven, beings, God, the glory of God. And I could say one thing today, compelled by the Spirit of God, supernatural. Sometimes, you know, directly sharing the Word of God, which we'll do, supernatural. The prayers have gone up, supernatural. Angels and demons, no doubt fighting during this time. You know why? Because as I've said, a special welcome to the archivers. Because between this direct show and everything off of our site, there'll be about 150,000 downloads of these MP3s throughout the month. And another 30,000 downloads of MP3s in well over 83 countries of the world. Welcome to those of you in Sri Lanka, Hawaiian Islands, Pretoria, those in Moscow and those in Beijing, those dear ones in Oslo and those in Paris and many of you in the Czech Republic, all across Europe, all across Canada, all across the United States. Let me just say this, a special note to all the archivers. Listen, we pray the hand of God engage you, bring the grace, the mercy, the presence and the power of God and absolute truth in this hour, the end of days. Tonight, it's Tuesday, again, the 31st of August. Last day, for me, it's not the last day of summer. By the way, it's 92 degrees, I think, here. We did have in Las Vegas, I think, a day that was 105. Here, though, with the humidity, boy, you can just walk outside and it's like an oven door being opened up. But I love it. It's really green still all around here. And I want you to know, as I tell some personal things at times, that for me, everything we share is about personal relationship. It's about loving individuals. When I was in Las Vegas, a truck driver that had been listening came to the meetings. Very caring, he reached out to a young man walking out there on the sidewalk, Joshua. And in case Joshua listens at all, we love you. And Joshua was brought into the meeting, just pulled in off the kind of like off the streets. And I saw there was a need. I felt a need for a supernatural engagement. I think everybody else saw this too. But anyway, I pulled him to the side and asked if I can pray, and I prayed. A lot of folks said something left. His eyes changed. Something occurred. We talked more about Christ and salvation. I gave him one of my books and wrote a note into it, and he sat next to me, and we talked for a while. Because you know what it is? I may never see Joshua again. See, this is what's in me. A human being, a young man named Joshua, someone to look at face to face, I understand his value. I understand the value of that one young man, along with all those who were there. The value's measured at the foot of the cross. The value goes way back, bara, a special act of God in creation. Not out of nothing, not by chance, but by infinite, not only intelligence, but personal, relational cause. We've come from someone. And though we've opened the doors of hell into our lives, that someone loves us. And at the cross, beyond psychology, beyond philosophy, beyond, well, New Age Spiritism, the cross tells us of the incredible worth, infinite personal presence on the cross. There's where I believe the value of humanity can be measured. So loved, so cared about, God desires us to come home, to know Him again. So the great thing tonight is, if you don't know Him, you can. God is knowable through the Lord Jesus. Now, we're going to talk about the supernatural side of the Lord Jesus in a little bit here, and there's a good reason why. Don't sell out. And if there's any book authors and psychics and remote viewers listening tonight, I do challenge you in the sight of God concerning the cubic zirconium spirituality and the fake Christ of the New Age and of the remote viewers. Dangerous to play with, well, fire, the fire of hell. We're taking a look here tonight at, again, supernaturalism. I mentioned already the issue of the spiders in the cave, and they were there all along. Listen, the angels of God, the demons of hell, God, the devil, it's all around us. It really is. Let's talk about some of the things concerning the supernatural. How about paranormal? Everybody seems to be into paranormal. There's all kinds of shows on the television right now. Paranormal. I mean, there's big movies being made right now, and there's other movies that deal, Legion deals with it, and all kinds of movies that are being engaged right now, Encounters of the Fourth Kind, and listen, so many of the movies deal with, really, a supernatural. We mentioned over the weekend the movie White Noise. I don't know, it was a couple years back, and that movie that dealt with, well, when individuals die, it all deals with this kind of electronic, the idea of voices coming over the static on a television or maybe even a radio. And that somehow from the other side, voices of the dead begin to call. Voices of the dead begin to call. And if you watch the movie White Noise, it's pretty incredible. Because in that movie, there is this constant enticing. A man's wife was killed and she was gone. And yet in this engagement of trying to find and reach out to the dead, or wonder if the dead is reaching out to recontact us, there's this constant kind of slippery slope that the individual goes through, and individuals that were seeking to engage their dead loved ones. And again and again and again, they're hearing voices. And again and again and again, there's like a real supernaturalism going all over, a synchronicity going on. But the movie shows it really like it is. In the end, they were entities. They were entities that were playing games with those who were living. And the entities, in the end, were wanting to draw the living deeper and deeper and deeper into their field so that they could get a hold of them. Listen, if you haven't seen the movie, you know, watch it as you read a book, a research project, and watch how it reveals. And I think that was the good thing about the movie. It really reveals that there is a dark side to the supernatural. Not everything supernatural is good. Not everything dream and experience and visitation and voice in a head, engagement, channeling, not everything that goes on supernaturally is good. That is a fact. There is, let's talk about ghosts and the dead and mediums. Listen, we know that the Bible says, God says, don't. What if you do? Don't open that door. Yet I've got all kinds of individuals that write to me, I see dead people. Well, do you? Do you really see the dead people? Is that who you see? There is such a heavy-duty warning that comes from God about playing games with the dead. And it's like, you know what humanity does? It's like pre-Nazi Germany. There was a medium, a seer of the dead, at every cafe. I mean, the mediums were just absolutely everywhere. The spiritual doors, the supernatural doors, were opening wide in pre-Nazi Germany. And all those doors and all that supernatural, you know what it really shows? That there was a supernatural side seeking the German nation. The hurting, pain-filled, beaten, and very needful nation, that all of a sudden, where all the wound and all the pain and all of the, all of a sudden, an incredible spiritual, supernatural engagement, deception was occurring everywhere. There was a lot of folks seeking the dead, talking to the dead. This went on to England, all over the United States today. And so we got it on television. You know, the guys that are talking to the dead relatives and telling about, don't you remember, the cup on the table? Don't you remember the letter that was sent? Your favorite movie? The dead are speaking. Or is it familiar spirits that understand and know the dead that are enticing emotions, hearts and lives to come their way? It's never crystal clear, is it? Whenever it comes to the dark side, it's as though they throw out bait on a hook. And many people have swallowed the bait and have been hooked. Let's talk about visitations. Wow. All over the place. We've gotten calls to go to homes everywhere. Entities walking around the houses. Presence, supernatural things. Things falling off of the walls. Children in the house being visited. Something comes into the room. They can feel it walking across the room. All of a sudden, it sits on the bed. The bed presses down. They feel it. The fear, continues to rise. As the fear rises, it's as if the entity that has walked in has even more room and touches them and presses down on their chest. And even somewhat seems to, stun the individual. They can't scream. They can't talk. They know something's there. And then all of a sudden, as some have told me, voices, don't scream. Don't move. We are here. Then there's the issue of possessions. All over. In Russia, in Scandinavian nations, in Europe, in Italy, they're going frantic. Bring us exorcists. Voices in the head. Voices guiding people. Voices leading people to do horrific things. Voices in a presence. They can't get it out. Possessions. For the body of Christ, I was saying back in the 90s that during the late 70s, 80s, and the beginning of the 90s, more books on spiritual warfare had been written than ever in the history of the church. It's as if individuals were being guided to write messages and teaching from the Bible that engages the issue of a battle, of a spiritual war of angels and demons. I mean, the movie Angels and Demons, the conspiracy Angels and Demons. Extra-dimensional entities, out-of-the-body experiences, near-death experiences. We can go on and on and on and on. What about the predictions? What about the psychics and their goal to speak? What about Edgar Cayce? What about Nostradamus? What about the Mayan spirituality and the Mayan prophecies? What about 2012? What about the rising critical mass thinking that's going on around the world? There is a communication coming down. There is a supernatural spiritual desire to convince humanity that a evolutionary, supernatural, transformation of human consciousness is coming on a global scale. We're not even talking individuals. We're talking that individuals, by the hundreds and thousands, channelers, remote viewers, astral projectors, automatic writers, psychics, remote viewers, all across the world, they're all tapping into and have been tapped into, and they're coming up with as Paul von Ward, in a dangerous book that he wrote, said, the collective voices of the advanced beings. Oh, like the spiders in the cave, they're there. They've been there all along. But the issue is, in these days, in the last 30 years or 40 years, they have been coming through. They have been crossing the barrier, gateways, doorways, portholes, as never before in human history. And you know what? Many of you know this. Some of you got experiences. I bet you if I was to ask you to raise your hand and say, you know, how many out there have had an experience, I mean a supernatural experience, raise your hand. Thousands of hands will go up. I mean, we are literally behind by the hundreds of requests to engage individuals with prayer because of supernatural experiences, doorways, things that occurred that at first it seemed like, wow, this is really something. This is really neat. This is really cool. But then they realized there is a dark, dark side to the supernaturalism that they've gotten into. What about you? What about you? What supernatural event? What supernatural presence? What supernatural engagement, experience, encounter has occurred? You hear voices? You feel something walk on past you? Maybe your grandmother was a reader of the dead. Did she hand it down to you? What about paranormal engagement all around? You know, I was on a flight from Las Vegas to Chicago. That was about 3.5 hours. And there was a gentleman and his wife sitting next to me, and we were talking a little bit. And he had been, he'd been to Fort Bragg and a soldier and so forth. And we were talking about a number of things. And we talked about the plane. He said, no matter how many times he's been in a plane, there's always that fear. There's always that concern. I've watched people. See, I get on any longer, and I just get on like a bus ride. It's like a bus ride only up in the air. And I get on, and usually I'll have something to read or do whatever, but I was so tired I didn't really do a whole lot. Thinking, praying, thinking about the conference, thinking about Joshua, individuals, engagement, people, thinking about you as I was getting ready to prepare for this night. And, you know, the thought does cross your mind. What if the plane does crash? What if all of a sudden the physics, you know, this world, there's plane crashes, there's car crashes, there's planes that are blown up. You know, I listen at the airport. The alert level is now at orange. They got a hold of two other Muslim individuals out of Canada, and they had objects, you know, this, you know, telephones that were taped to these bottles. And whether it was just testing the system or whether they were going to try something. So were they going to blow something up? Are they testing something? So all around us, and in some countries and some places, death is a daily experience. Death. Here you and I, you know, we're alive. You know, you're listening, I'm speaking, we're engaging. But what about death? What about when we do die? And I'm not just talking about, you know, a crane, you know, a train, a plane rather, crashing and everybody dying. But really, do you believe, like Dawkins, you know, the atheist Dawkins, you know, all of a sudden we live our lives and there's not a whole lot of meaning. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we're going. There is no God, all that kind of stuff. Dawkins talk. Sad, man. It's really sad. I don't know what he tells his children. I don't know what he tells his grandchildren. You know, when he eats a corn on the cob, an apple, you know, obviously he gives thanks to no one. But when he dies, is that it? When you, listen, the significant you, if your physical body dies, well, all of the supernaturalism that we're talking about becomes crystal clear. For some, it's too late. And there is heavy, heavy, constant warning and urgency. You know who by? Not by the dark side. To all the Satanists, to all the Luciferians, you all know very, very well that the demons and your side, they don't warn you of heaven and hell. They don't warn you of consequence. It's just a constant use of your life. On the other hand, there is constant redemptive warning, constant supernatural seeking. God is seeking to rescue. That's why the term saved is used. And we need to understand that the concept of saved is the most, it's explosively supernatural. Now, I know a lot of New Agers and a lot of remote viewers and a lot of conspiracy listeners, and maybe you don't understand what that means. But it is the exchange that involves the genetics, the physics of God, that brings indestructible immortality and our ability in the future to see God face to face and be loved and be embraced in the most incredible relational experience you could ever conceive. I know I will see God face to face. And that involves, well, let me say this, supernatural. What is that? Well, supra, above what we understand. When we talk about God and miracles and signs and wonders, it's about the physics of God. When we talk about salvation, what does it mean to be saved? The living Christ coming into your life, the Spirit of God coming into your life, Satan's legalities and spiritual rights broken, death, hell, and separation from God broken, and new life, immediacy of knowing God, and the deposit of the gift that leads to that indestructible immortality. Don't you want that if you don't have it? There's a spiritual clarity that comes into you once you do have it. See, I listen to a lot of experiences, and I can tell you back many of the spiritual experiences I had prior to coming to God. They were real. I can explain them. I could tell about them. I can talk about out of the body. I know what it is to leave. I know what it is to look down at my body. I know what it is to engage voices. I know what the feeling was like. I know what the sense of engagement with entities were. I know the experience. But there was a lethal dark side to that experience. You know, you ever wonder why New Agers and Edgar Cayce and remote viewers, where's the warning? Somebody sent me a video of one of the elite remote viewers. And as I began to listen to this remote viewer, you know what I heard? You know what I heard? I'm listening to a remote viewer, an elite remote viewer, who's literally influenced thousands. Collectively, hundreds of thousands have been have been influenced by the remote viewers from Stargate. Well, as I'm listening to him because he's worried about life and death, afterlife, and all the rest. And in his remote viewing experience, he says that he saw a light. He engaged a light. He calls that God. And it was a good feeling. And he felt that that light and that engagement told him not to fear death. Don't worry about it. And that is now his message. Don't fear death. Don't worry about dying and going anywhere. God is out there. That's all that he's saying. And the experience comes from a supernatural engagement. But clearly the evidence is that it didn't come from God, but a counterfeit. And that burns my britches. It burns my britches that the dark side operates this way, and that instead of embracing God and knowing God and being able to communicate, wow, it's incredible to know God. It's incredible to be in this relationship. Instead of this deep personal relationship that's growing and getting even deeper, it's about, you know, stuff that's a mile away. Counterfeit supernatural experiences are intended to deceive, are intended to seduce. So where the supernatural engagement, the source of it, well, that means everything. And so when we talk about predictions or talk about revelations and talk about dreams and talk about, you know, people telling experiences, I've had people talk about their experiences with demons, with angels, with entities, with dream, you know, all these things. I mean, even going back to the German people and Hitler and Himmler and the Wurzburg Castle, which I desire to go visit. And Lynn Marzulli and I are talking about setting up the trip to go to the ancient Mayan temples. And we have a particular agenda in doing so. Because it is without question, there is a timed, plotted, purposeful, supernatural synchronicity that has drawn thousands down there. And the engagements are real. The spiritual revelations are real. But they are as lethally and deadly wrong as they were back when they were sacrificing thousands and thousands of human beings. Don't we get it? Don't we get the fact that there is a presence that seeks to steal our relationship with God? That's how it began in the beginning. You think you've got pain? You think you've got guilt and pain and harm and hurt in your life? You look at the world that we live in and the war and the dismantling and the destabilization, the chaos to come. You think it's a crazy world, but it all begins. It all begins in the beginning of human history when a supranatural, extra-dimensional, powerful entity engages humanity. We were given the supernatural help. We were given the supernatural shield, the Word of God, to hold on to. But the entity came with words, with lies, with a presence and a power and a energy that brought literally an emotional enticing and a mental engagement. Oh, there's power. Strange, curious, building energies that draw, that call us. Like in the movie White Noise. Come further, come further, come further, come further. Like the bait that's been thrown out into the lake around the deadly hook. You know, bait on a hook, it's all about sheer deception. You know, all the fishermen have those particular, the you know, bait and all the different lures. Lures. And it's all about luring the fish. It's all about fooling the fish. It's all about making the free swimming around, happy-go-lucky fish. It's all about luring them. And it's all about deceiving them so that they will think that it's something else. They are meant to think that it's something good. And so they bite into it. That's why they bite into it, because they think it's something good, something normal, something food, nourishment. Yet the hook rips into their mouth, and they're pulled in. Pretty soon they're hacked up, cooked up, and eaten. And if you don't think hell isn't like that, if you don't think the dark side isn't like that, if you don't think they'll lure you, hook you, pull you in, chop you up, chew you up, they don't, you've got to understand, they don't give a darn about human life. They're opposed to it. And they're opposed to anybody, you included, knowing God. If you remember, I told the story, and I told this down in Las Vegas again, and I gave much more of the details. I don't have time here. But when we were taken to a very deep into the woods satanic ritual site, there was a black mask indicator on the tree, other major symbols around the trees. It was sunken down in, circular. And as we pulled down in there, it was eerie. You could feel it in the air. You can cut the dark presence, that sense all around us with a knife. When I got out of the car, everybody went off looking for the bones. They're going to dig up bones. And we were taken there by a heavy-duty Satanist, where there had been human sacrifice and animal sacrifice and deep worship. The twilight languages were spoken there, and the demons were summoned. And because of it being a place of bloodshed and sacrifice, territorially, the dark side had come over to this side, and they claim legalities. When I got out of the car, as a believer with the Spirit of God in my life, let me tell you something. I stood there, I could feel them as if they were literally mulling around, walking around, moving around. Powerful, big entities. I could feel and sense and perceive that they knew who I was and why we were there, and that they were in a panic and in a frenzy, angry that we have encroached their territory. See, the demons can see whether you have the Spirit of God in you or not, whether you are really of Christ or not, whether it's fake religion, counterfeit spirituality. If it is, they don't care. They'll just plot more deception. You've got the precursors that will allow them to blanket you more. But if you're a believer in Christ, the blood of Christ has washed everything. The living Christ is inside of you, the Spirit of God is in you, then listen, like the demons in the book of Acts, remember what they said? Jesus we know, and Paul we know. They know. In all these years of exorcisms we've been involved in, they absolutely know. Whether you're a believer or not, whether you're indwelt by the Spirit of God or not, and if you are, they're going to be, I mean, they are your deadly enemies. They mount, they call on their buddies. They all come around. They want to mount something up. Believers in Christ, do you remember Ephesians chapter 6? It's all about a supernatural engagement, battle, warfare. Read how many times the word against is used. Your struggle, your battle, your warfare is not against flesh and blood. That day out on that blood-soaked ritual field, the entities were all around. I opened up all the Ford car doors. I put in a praise CD, powerful praise worshiping CD. I turned the volume to the max, and I walked around with my hands in the air, praising God, worshiping God, rebuking the dark side, clearing the air around me. There was an engagement. I believed if they could, they would love to rip me to shreds. And you Satanists and you Luciferians, some of you are going to write me letters, I know, and tell me that's exact. Listen, I've had it happen too many times. Walk into my office, demon inside somebody. They want to kill you, Russ. They want to destroy you, Russ. They want me to pick up this thing over here and crush your head. They want to kill you. I was in church as a pastor, standing there, and I watched a man walk into the back of the sanctuary. I could see it. I could feel it. The church was worshiping, singing joyfully. We're down there praying. And all of a sudden, the man, demonized, manifesting, walking down the aisle towards the front where I was standing, in front of the congregation. I knew it was coming. So inside, I'm beginning to pray, and as he gets all the way to the front, I'm praying inside, binding, commanding, ordering the dark, present, manifesting demons to stand down. I said to the individual whose eyes were glazed over, he seemed like a zombie. I said to him, "What's going on?" And a voice came out saying, "We want to kill you, Dizdar." That's the sound of it. "We want to kill you, Dizdar." And I've heard that before. I'm telling you, the spirits, the entities, because of the authority of Christ, they are outed for what they really are. That's a lot of what our ministry is all about. To take the flashlight and shine it on these dark creatures who've always been there by the thousands, by the millions, and say, these creatures, these lethally dark, human-hating, God-hating entities with supernatural powers to masquerade, counterfeit, be anything, are offering the lure, the bait. We're here to shine a light on that. My dear friend, by the supernatural presence, our moment of God, I pray the light of God's presence, His Spirit, shines on the source of your own supernatural spiritual experiences. Are they from north of hell? Do they come from God? Or are they south of heaven, coming from the dark side? Let me mention something quickly here. We only have about 6 minutes left tonight. I want to say thank you for a lot of emails coming in. Appreciate the welcome back from dear friends. I'm looking at here quickly. And I want you to know something that... And I want you to hear this, regardless of your background. When you think of the term Jesus Christus, Jesus Christ, the real Christ, let's talk about 10, well, about 9 areas of the incredible supernatural that is all around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, His coming into the world. Over hundreds of years, by the supernatural Spirit of God, God guided prophets to speak and then to write. Emmanuel is coming. God visiting in human flesh is coming. A suffering servant is coming. Yahweh Adonai will come in human flesh. There'll be an engagement. Judas will be there. He'll betray the Son of God. 30 pieces of silver, 1,000 years in advance, the prediction of the resurrection of Christ that would blast apart the finality of death and open the door for direct, personal, powerful relationship with God that saves us. Listen, the coming of Christ is massively, supernaturally announced in the most incredible, irrevocable, infallible, accurate, prophetic, predictive content you can find anywhere. What about the conception? We're talking about hybrid, but not like Nephilim and Homo Satanus and the goal of the Aryan God-men. We're talking about the Spirit of God, uncreated God. God caused the conception inside the chosen servant, Mary. And it was predicted 700 years in advance. A virgin would be found with child. Now, when it all occurred, an angel of God manifesting, speaking, talking to her, the Spirit of God overshadowing her, causing the conception. This is the physics of God. Now we have the incarnation of God in human flesh. Read Hebrews. I don't have time right now. Hebrews chapter 2. If you really want to know why it occurred, read Hebrews chapter 2. You're going to find out why God stepped into human flesh. Well, it's for you. It's all about you. Now let's talk about the birth. Think about, again, the star. Think about the wise men. Think about all that occurred. God being born as fulfilled prophecy from Isaiah. He's called Emmanuel, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, and the nations in the millennium coming. All of it will be upon his shoulders. He's coming, my friends. What about his life? Sinless. Look at his life. Look at it. Listen, there's no one like him. Look at the works that he did. He walked on the water. All of nature, creation, listened to him, obeyed him, responded to him. Creation did. He had power and authority over nature, over sin, over death, over disease, over Satan, over everything. Amazing. His words, nobody can say what he said. I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. No one could say that but him. On the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what. Look on the cross. His words, unequaled, unprecedented. You can't find it anywhere else. The cross, where else? Where else? All designed. And at that cross, the most powerful supernatural door. Crushing of Satan, crushing of the issue of sin. I mean, God takes care of everything in Christ on the cross and the resurrection. Do you know him? New life. He's coming again. And the great news is he can come into your life right now if you don't know him. Turn to the living Christ. Receive him into your life. Hey, this is the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar. Remember us in your prayers, my friends. Remember us, please, in support. God bless you. Good night.